Hello, everybody. This is Joanna, and this is our Befriending Your Fears Part 2, the unexpected Part 2 to the Befriend Your Fears process. I'm so excited to take everything that we looked in the first part of this call, which was really laying out all of the foundational pieces that are important for you as a coach to really know and understand about fear and how fear functions in your clients' lives and you know, what it means, right, and how it works. So part one was very much about kind of understanding the fundamental, the foundational ideas around fear, why it's so important to befriend your fear instead of slay your fear or conquer your fear. To, you know, take a look at why fear plays such a big role in the growth process and how it plays a role in the growth process. We looked at a lot of the common underlying fears, which is really important also for you as the coach to know, you know, to be aware of those so that you can really understand more of the gravity of a seemingly surface fear for any particular client. And then we laid out the different steps of my Befriend Your Fear process that you can use for yourself and your own growth, as well as for leading your clients through their fear. And so we kind of got all of that prerequisite information on part one of this training call. And now as we step into part two today, this is where I'm actually going to lead you step by step by step through each part of the process so that you can really, number one, experience it for yourself. That's the best way to be able to help others with it, is if you experience it yourself. And number two, so that I can really give you different ideas and model different language and ways to help lead your clients through the Befriend Your Fear process. So we actually already started moving through the process on part one of this call. And if you haven't listened to part one, or if you didn't participate in part one, you're going to want to, you're going to need to do that in order to really move through the process that I'm going to be sharing with you today. But if you remember, we already began to work on both step one and step two of the Befriending Your Fear process. Step one was become aware of your fears, right? Like understanding what are you actually scared of, or what do you fear the most about a certain situation where you're in arrested development, or what would be at risk for you if you were to really go after the goal that you are kind of feeling stuck around, right? That's all about bringing awareness, beginning to bring the fear out of the blind spot where it's most likely sabotaging you, and bringing it out into the open. So it's not just like, oh, I just can't seem to get my outreach emails done and I don't know why, but to be able to really look and say, oh, it's not that I'm lazy. It's not for any reason other than I'm not getting those emails out because I'm really scared of being criticized. I'm really scared of being seen. I'm really scared that I'm going to get those outreach emails to potential prospects and lots of business will come in, and then I'm not going to have enough time for myself or my family, right? So that's step one, is becoming aware of your fears, helping your clients become aware of your fears. And I brought you through an exercise to help you with that on the last call, right? You're going to want that information that came through around the current goal that is in arrested development for you right now and what would be at risk for you, what some of your fears are, right? You're going to actually need that information as we move through the rest of the process today. We also did look at step two on the last call of the befriending your fear process, and that's about understanding how your fears behave in your life. So that step was all about just being able to really see and notice and recognize and acknowledge and accept how your fears cause you to act out or how those fears manifest in terms of actions that you take or inaction. Right? All of the behaviors that the fear itself causes. So, maybe it causes procrastination. Maybe it causes you to become angry at loved ones. Maybe it causes you feeling bad about yourself. Maybe it causes you not putting your full heart into the task at hand, right? The reason why it's really important as you lead clients through this process to do step two, the understanding behaviors, is that because becoming aware of the fear isn't enough. It's a big first step, right? We want them to see the underlying fear. But when they can really see the behaviors and the feelings and the reactions that the fear causes, then they can see, wow, this fear isn't just like a little thing that I can just ignore, right, or continue to just like tolerate. This is something that impacts my life, that impacts my actions, that impacts my feelings in a really big way. I want to do something about this. I want to make a change here. The other reason why the second step of the process is so important, recognizing the behaviors and the feelings that the fear motivates, is because then your client will be able, once she is aware of this, once you help her see the behaviors, then when she moves through her life outside of the session with you, she'll be able to know, oh, I'm having that behavior. It must mean that my fear is activated right now, right? And it will, just that awareness alone may help dissipate the fear, but it will also let her know that it's a moment to move into step three of the befriending your fear process, which is all about dialoguing with your fears. So this step of the process, as I mentioned on our last call, this is the heart of the making friends with the fear. By dialoguing with your fears, you're leaning into them. You are not rejecting them or fighting them or ignoring them or hating on them or judging them. But if you can actually have a conversation with your fear, I'm going to lead you through this in a few moments. If you can actually have a conversation with your fear, it allows you to step more into becoming its friend. It allows you to honor it and love it. And as we looked at on our last call, that's the power of that really, is behind the befriend your fear process. It's like the sun and the wind and the man with the hat and the coat, right? If you and your clients can actually love and accept and honor the fear, that's when it can actually start to relax. It can actually start to loosen up. It can actually start to diminish because it knows that it's getting the loving attention that it deserves. So it doesn't have to be so big and in your face. Okay. So, all that being said, let's move through this step three of leaning into the fear and dialoguing with the fear. So we're going to do this today through visualization. And what I'll say is, you know, some clients that you'll work with will be really open to the idea of visualization, which is awesome. I think that's the most powerful way to move through step three. But you're going to have some other clients, possibly, that maybe aren't so open to the idea of visualization. If that's the case, no worries. You can do this as a journaling exercise. You can do this through drawing, or you can just really even do this through a regular coaching conversation by, you know, asking questions. But we're going to do it today through visualization. So if you haven't looked back at your notes from part one of the call, first just take a moment, look back at your notes to the place where I asked you what is a current project or goal that you're working on that is in arrested development? What's something that you're wanting to achieve right now where you're just stuck, where you're stalling, where you're sabotaging, where it's just not happening the way that you want it to? So go back to your answer for that, and then also your answer around what are you actually scared of and what would be at risk for you if you were to achieve it, right? We looked at that in way more detail last time, so I won't get into all of the questions around that, but that's the fear, right? Whatever you saw was at risk for you, or whatever, like, the biggest fear around achieving this thing, that's the fear that we're going to be dialoguing with today. That's the fear we're going to be becoming better friends with through this visualization. That's the fear that I'm asking you to lean into. Instead of running away from it, instead of ignoring it, I'm asking you to lean more into it. Okay, so with that fear in mind, maybe it's a fear of being seen. Maybe it's a fear of disconnecting from yourself or a parent. Maybe it's a fear that you won't be supported anymore, right? If you achieve strength, then people won't have to support you. Maybe it's a fear of surpassing a loved one. Whatever it is for you, that's what we're going to work with. And so I invite you to close your eyes and feel your seat beneath you. Allow yourself to settle into your seat, keeping in mind the ground underneath that, right? Underneath the layers and that ground that's always there to support us. And just allow yourself to settle in and to tune into your breath, inhaling and exhaling. And by tuning into your breath, you're tuning into your body. Inhale and exhale. And as you inhale and exhale, bring your breath all the way down to your toes. Use the breath to move through the whole body. Use the breath to come back home to yourself and to your body. And as you breathe in this way, and as you become aware of your body in this way, I invite you to locate the part of your body where this particular fear lives. Where in your body does this fear that you've identified that's holding you back from your goal, where does it live in your body? You don't have to overthink this. You'll know. Just feel it out. You might feel a tingling sensation somewhere, or you might feel a little bit of tension in your belly or your back or your neck, or maybe it's just your inner wisdom is bringing you awareness to a certain part of your body, your forehead, your heart, right? So wherever in your body it is, allow yourself to focus in on that part of the body where the fear lives inside of you. And what I'd like for you to do is over the next 2 or 3 breaths to really send the breath right into that part of the body where your fear is living, right to the belly or the forehead or your lower back. Just breathe right into that place. Get really connected. Lean in. Be with that place in your body where the fear lives, and be with the fear itself. So often we run away from the fear, or we hate on the fear, we reject the fear, we pretend like the fear doesn't even exist. This is a moment to do the opposite of that, to connect with the fear, to be with it peacefully, without struggle, with intimacy. And almost as if you were a detective, as you connect with this part of your body with the fear lives, where the fear lives, I want you to get out your magnifying glass and get out your flashlight and go right into the part of your body where the fear is living. And I want you to look at the fear, right? I want you to see the fear in your belly, or in your back, or in your neck, or in your shoulders, your leg, wherever it is. And with that magnifying glass and with that flashlight, look closely. What does the fear look like inside of your body? What does the fear look like inside of your body? Does it have a color? Does it have a shape? Is it a particular image? Is it showing up as a key or a chair? Or is it just more of a nebulous energy with a color, a shape to it? What does the fear look like as it lives inside of you? And continue to breathe. Breathe right into that part of your body where the fear lives. And next, I want to invite you to connect even more deeply with the fear and take it in with all 5 senses. So not only what does the fear look like, but does it have a smell? Can smell it? Is it hot or cold? What does it feel like to touch it? Touch it. See what it feels like. Does it make a sound, or is it silent? get as much information as you can about this fear as it lives in your body. What is the energy of the fear? Just really take it all in. And with your next breath, connect even more deeply with the fear. And with the next breath, just let the fear know. You can let it know silently. Just let the fear know that you're here to learn more about it. You're not here to hate on it. You're here to learn more about it. And you're going to ask your fear a series of questions. I'll lead you through them one by one. And as you ask your fear each question, just take in what comes to you. Don't overthink it. Feel in. You might hear the answer. You might feel the answer. You might see the answer. And for some, maybe no answer comes at all. There's nothing wrong. It's all right. Don't judge any of it. Just take it in as it comes through. And so first, I invite you to ask your fear, how long have you been with me? How long have you been around, right? How long have you been in my body and in myself? So ask your fear, how long have you been with me? And just see what comes up. Breathing in and out, connecting even more deeply with the fear. And the next question to ask the fear is there a particular event or series of events that brought you into being in my life? Is there an event or a series of events that really brought you fear into being in my life? Let's see what the fear wants to tell you. What motivated it to come into your life? Was there an event? Next question to ask your fear. What is the purpose that you have served in my life? What is the purpose that you've served? How have you actually served me? And just see what wants to come up there. How has your fear served you? Breathing in and out, continuing to connect deeply with this fear. And the next question is ask your fear in its highest self, when it's in its highest self, what is it that the fear actually wants for you? Right? When it's in its highest, highest form of itself, its most evolved form, its best self, what is it that it actually wants for you? Just hear what it has to say about that. Next question to ask your fear, what part of myself do I need to activate in order to move forward with my goals and not be so scared? What part of myself do I need to activate in order to move forward with my goals and not be so scared? And then finally asking your fear, what else do you want me to know right now? What other wisdom do you have for me? And just seeing if there's anything else the fear wants you to know. And breathing in and out. And then from there, taking a moment and being in gratitude for the fear, for the ways that it has served, being in gratitude for its presence today, and honoring, seeing if you can even just honor its existence. And thanking the fear, thanking it for bringing forward its wisdom today, for being present. And asking it one last question, just ask it if it would like now that you've paid attention to it, if it would like to get smaller a little bit or change form inside of you. It may not want to, and that's okay. That doesn't mean anything, but it also may want to change form. And so just ask it and watch, right? Really just look at the fear and just see what it looks like and if it shifts. And then taking a couple of deep breaths in and out as you just last thanks to the fear, and bringing yourself back to the present moment. And on that third exhale, allowing your eyes to flutter open, and bringing yourself fully back to this moment. Beautiful. So take a moment right now and just jot down a couple of notes, anything that you want to remember from that dialogue and from that visualization, anything that's important for you. Okay, so first, just before we continue, I would love to hear, you know, what came through for you in this visualization. Please post on Facebook. Let us know what came through by writing it out in Facebook and sharing some of the highlights and the important pieces for you. You're just bringing it even more deeply into your awareness and your consciousness, and you're continuing to actually cultivate that relationship with the fear by writing it out. So I would just love for you to do that. Okay. So after this part of the process, which is about the dialoguing with the fear, the next two steps of the process really go together. So step four is about connecting into spirit, trust, and love. And step five is about choosing to walk a different path, right? To not allow the fear to get so much in your way. And the reason why these next two steps work together is because with all of the uncovering we've already done in the first three steps and all of the awareness that we've created, all the creating of the friendship, that's amazing, amazing, and powerful work. But in order to really choose to walk a different path, it's so important to really trust and love yourself, right? To be, number one, to be able to make a choice that is loving to you. And number two, to trust the choice that you make, right? We want to be able to trust the choice that you make. One of the hardest, I think, one of the hardest situations to be in that I see clients in a lot, and I've certainly been in this place myself, is to not trust a decision that we've made, to second guess it, right? And usually when we second guess and we don't trust the choices that we've made, that's when all the fears kind of can come rushing back in, the self-doubt comes, all of that. So take a moment and find your love, your self-love, and your self-trust inside of yourself, whatever that means for you. Ask that it be present as we move into choosing a different path. Okay, so this part of the process, I'll lay it out for you in a particular way. But again, like everything, use law of adaptation for your clients. The exact questions I ask may work for them. The exact process I take you through may work for them. Or they might need a slight adaptation, right? Like I said in part one, this is an art, not a science. It's because we're coaching the who and not the what. Or we're coaching the what based on the who, I should say. Okay. So what's most important in step four in choosing a different path is that the choice is made consciously. I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. This is an important foundational understanding piece for you as a coach and as a human being. Most of the time when we do the behaviors that we identified on part one of this call, the behaviors that the fear instigates or that the fear activates, when we procrastinate or we self-sabotage or, whatever the things are that keep us stuck and not achieving our goals, 9.999999 times out of 10, we're not making a conscious choice to perform those behaviors or to have those feelings. But we're kind of on just autopilot with it, right? Because the fear is in the blind spot. and all of the awareness is in the blind spot, and so we just react, right? When we react to something, we're not making a conscious choice. If you remember back two trainings ago, when we looked at the resistance archetypes, I was talking about the archetype of the victim. Remember what I said? The victim is the one who's disempowered because she feels like she has no choice, right? When we have a choice, that's when we are empowered. So this part of the befriend your fear process is about moving out of autopilot on our behaviors and some of our feelings, you know, moving out of reactivity and moving into responding, right? Responding instead of reacting, making choices that are based on information, on awareness, on exploration that we've done, and being, no matter what that choice is, right, even if you continue, for example, to choose not to outreach, that you're not just, it's not a default choice that you feel like you don't have control over, but you're making a very conscious decision, right? So I have a great example of that. You know, one of the things that I'm working on in my own personal life right now is I go to sleep way too late. Like, we're turning the light off at, you know, 11:30 at night, sometimes even later, and I know I need more sleep than what I'm getting. I know that, you know, things would just be better if I could go to bed at 10:30 or even 11. I haven't yet made the switch to do that. But I'll tell you the progress that I've made is that for the longest time, I just felt powerless, right? Oh my God, I just can't help it. I'm just going to bed so late. It felt like I wasn't making a conscious decision. Well, now, even though I still go to bed, like, you know, later than I want, I recognize that it's a decision that I'm making, right? I know that I'm going to be a little bit more tired in the morning, but I allow myself to still say, you know what? At 10:30, like, I could turn the lights out, but I just don't feel like it, right? Instead of just feeling like this energy is overcoming me and I have no choice, I'm making the conscious decision and honoring the decision, hoping that one day it will change and I will start to go to bed earlier, but at least now I can make it consciously. And that alleviates so much of my suffering around this issue, right? Because I don't have to judge myself anymore. I don't have to feel like I'm doing things that are out of my control. So that's one example here, right? So as you move through step four and move your clients through, or sorry, this is really step five, they may choose to walk a different path, which is awesome. They might be ready for that. But they may not be ready, and that's okay too. You're still making progress with the fear if they make the conscious choice. So here's what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for you to take out two pieces of paper. You can kind of like take a piece of paper and rip it in two and put them both in front of you, these two pieces of paper. On the first piece of paper, I want you to write in just short form what it is that you want for yourself. In other words, that goal, right, that's in arrested development that you really want for yourself. I want you to write that goal on that first piece of paper. Now, on the second piece of paper, I want to invite you to write down the fear that you identified around the goal, right? So the fear that we just worked with in the visualization, write that down on the second piece of paper. And now I'm going to ask you an important question. I want you to choose one. Now, I want to be really clear. I'm not expecting you to choose the goal necessarily, right? I mean, it's awesome if you do. But one isn't actually better than the other. This is about making a conscious decision, right? And it doesn't have to be a forever decision either, right? But for right now, which one of these two things do you consciously choose to pursue? The goal or the fear? And whichever one you choose, I want you to pick up that piece of paper. And as you hold the piece of paper in your hand, make it not just be a piece of paper. Feel as if you're actually holding that thing. You're actually holding the goal, or you're holding the fear. Just breathe into it. And as you hold this thing that you're choosing, bring it into your body, right? Like bring that commitment into your body. This is what I'm choosing. And I want you to answer a couple of questions. These are really important questions around your choice. So first of all, for whichever one you chose, why did you choose it? What are the benefits that made you choose this particular one? It might be helpful if you want to write some of those, jot some of those answers down. Why did you choose this one? The why is really important. One of the things that helps us go after something is to not only know what it is, but why we want it. Next question, this is where the choice becomes even more conscious. For whatever you chose, what are you willing to endure in order to walk the path of this thing? In other words, what do you know is going to be uncomfortable and stretchy by making the choice? What do you know is going to be uncomfortable and stretchy, but you're willing to endure it anyway, right? So, for example, if you've been holding yourself back from being visible in your business and you're choosing to be visible, you may have to endure being criticized from a couple of people, right? Because it's just the truth. The more visible we are, the more people love us and the more people hate us, right? Or if you've been wanting to bring on more clients and you've chosen that, you know, part of what you may have to endure is being rejected from some of the outreach that you do. Right? Or in my case, when I am choosing to continue to go to bed later, I get all of the benefits of going to bed later, right? And the reason why I'm still choosing that is because it just gives me more time at night. to decompress after the kids go to bed, have more time with my husband. Like, there's a ton of benefits, right? But I also have to be really honest about what I endure, which is that I'm kind of more tired in the morning, right? So let's just be completely honest about the choice that we're making, whatever it is. What are you willing to endure? What do you know is going to be uncomfortable and stretchy, but you're willing, with this commitment to this choice, to endure it anyway? Next question. Whatever the discomfort is or the stretchiness is, what can you do to ease the discomfort that the choice might bring? Right? What are some ways, basically, of dealing with whatever you have to endure? And then last question for this section. What is some wisdom that you want to remember in the moments when the discomfort arises? Another way you can think of this is, like, what is a mantra that you could come back to in those moments on this path that you're choosing when the discomfort arises, right? So an example, I mean, if we go back to, you know, if you go after being visible, there's a good chance that you might be criticized here and there. You know, maybe an example of a mantra is, I am strong enough to withstand criticism, right? Or maybe the mantra is, even when I'm being criticized, I know the importance and value of the work, right? So for whatever the thing that you're going to be enduring is, what is a piece of wisdom or mantra that you can come back to in those moments? So now, one more time, now that you've gone through and looked at the why you're making this choice, looked at, you know, some of the fallout from this choice, right? Some of the discomfort that this choice will bring, because there's pros and cons to everything. Now that you've sort of gone through this, go deeper with the commitment, right? You can still change your mind. You're just like, whoa, no, all of that discomfort isn't worth it, right? Really make your choice now. Commit. Commit to yourself. What is the path? Breathe it in. Okay. So there's one more step to the befriend your fear process. So everything that we've moved through today, that will take you a session's worth with a client, right? You can get them through these first five steps, which is amazing, right, to be able to do that and bring them to this place, right? But there's one last step that you can't do in the session. This last step is one that you can do in following sessions, but it's also one that your client has to do in between sessions. And that's the step of committing to the new path and recommitting and recommitting and recommitting, right? So this goes back to what I was talking about at the beginning of part one of befriending your fear, which is that a breakthrough is different than long-lasting transformation. A breakthrough is new awareness, new choices, being able to see things that you hadn't before. Important stuff, right? And a breakthrough leads to transformation, but it's not that, you know, we have that big breakthrough and then all of a sudden you've got a new pattern going on. No, you need to take what you've learned through the breakthrough and keep on coming back to it and practice it and practice it and practice it until over time there's a new pattern, there's a new way of being. That's the transformation, right? Until you've fully embodied this new way. So in other words, you have to do work. You have to be willing, after you've gone through steps 1 through 5 of this process, after you've had breakthroughs, you then have to be willing to put in work to actually make it a new pattern, to make it a new way of being where the fear does not get in the way of creating the thing that you want. I'm not going to lie, it takes work, right? It can be challenging, and you have to keep on coming back to step 5, making the conscious choice, making the conscious choice, making the conscious choice, right? I have so many examples in my own life or of clients of this, how this has worked, right? I'll give you one example. So I am now in a place of having spaciousness for the most part. Like this month, I don't have so much spaciousness because I have a ton of things going on. But generally, I have so much time and spaciousness, so much more time and spaciousness for myself than I ever have in my entire adult life, my business life, all of that. And basically, you know, for years I would just overbook and have too much to do and have so much work. And so for the first couple of years of that, before I even became aware of the fear, right, before I even went through steps 1 through 5 of the process, I just felt like a victim, right? Like work was too busy, you know, before I had my own business. You know, I worked for someone else. There's just too much to do at work. And then in my own business, there's just too much to run a business, right? There's just never going to be enough time. Then when I developed the Befriend Your Fear process and I went through steps 1 through 5, I actually was able to see that I wasn't a victim, but that I was actually choosing, without realizing it, to not have enough time and space for myself. And there were a lot of fears associated with that. There was just the fear of surpassing loved ones, right? Because my family of origin suffers so much, and my busyness was my way of suffering to be like them. And also the being so busy was about being scared of my emotions, just because my mom is so sick and I have so much grief around it, that keeping busy was distracting me from really feeling the feels there, right? So I went through steps 1 through 5 and I became aware of all of that, could see that it wasn't just like, oh, I don't have time. I made the conscious choice to have time for myself, but honestly, it still took a while of step 6 to actually create the spaciousness. I kept on having to come back to committing and recommitting and choosing again and choosing again and continuing to lean into the fear, right, until I was actually willing to make the space in my schedule and to take things out. And then I still had to do the work in order, you know, because you can put something in your schedule or take things out of your schedule, but then you just sort of, they creep back in, right? So then I have to keep on committing so that the things wouldn't creep back in, right? So that's the process. And so how can you help yourself and help your clients commit and recommit and recommit? Well, first of all, action steps, right? So I wouldn't leave that initial befriend your fear session without an actual action step of what they're going to do next. Are they going to write the outreach letters? Are they going to make sure they go to yoga that week? Are they, right? Whatever it is, right? So you want little action steps, not big ones. The other thing is to continue to dialogue with the fear. Anytime I uncover a new fear, my commitment is to become best friends with it. Like, we're going to be BFFs. And I can't do that just through one visualization, right? So for me, like, I love to journal. I also don't have someone that can take me through the visualization that I took you guys through today. So I do a lot of journaling. I will journal with the fear for, you know, 3 weeks, right? Every day or every other day or 3 times a week, right? I'll just keep on talking to the fear. And more than me talking to it, I'll have it write to me, right? And I just lean into it and love it more and more and more so that it can diminish more and more and more so I can understand it more and more and more. And then another way that you can help clients commit and recommit and recommit is celebrating their micro movements around this, right? So we'll get to this later in the program. This is a whole training call unto itself, but oftentimes if people don't achieve exactly what they want right away, it's like, they suck. It's a failure. They're a failure. It's not working. All of that. Part of your job as their coach is to actually help them see the little changes that they're making, so that they feel inspired and motivated to continue. Okay. I hope that you really enjoyed the process that I took you through today, and actually the entire Befriend Your Fear training, part one and part two. It's a big one. I know we've covered a lot of information. Be with it. Continue to dialogue with your fears. Track them. And I'd love to hear from you on the Facebook group. Let me know what you're seeing, what you're learning, what feels important you in all of this. I'm wishing you all a wonderful rest of your day.